This week's episode is brought to you by Toby Keith's That's Country Bro Tour.
Fuck you. So hard.
Fuck you. All right, fine. It's not. But I wish it was. Kevin's name pops up in the obituary.
R.I.P. In peace. To me. Specifically.
Yes. Anyway. Hello, everyone.
Good thing that doesn't show up on the recording. Oh, wait. It's about as loud as anything I say the whole fucking time.
Hello, everyone. This is the Hodge Podcast, the official podcast of CountryHodgePodge.com. I'm your host, Steve Hodge, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, cousin lover, Kevin Hodge, who is dying.
Hi.
This Kevin will not be energetic this episode because he might be dying. So,
I think nature is trying to kill me.
So today we decided each month, this is the third new type of episode we're going to do, even though I guess technically we've already done one of these, is we're doing, every month we're going to do a legend. So if you recall, last year we did a Merle Haggard Legends episode where we just spent the entire episode talking about him. So this week we're doing Waylon Jennings for our second Legends episode.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get into talking about Waylon Jennings, let's briefly talk quickly about that fucking Toby Keith tour.
That's how I feel. The name of that Toby Keith tour is an accurate representation of how my body is feeling right now. Like, just an abysmal representation of things created by humans. That's me. That's the tour.
Yeah, it's a really, really bad tour name. So if you didn't know, you heard the ad. That's Country Bro Tour. It's just like,
There we go. Now you're sideways or normal.
I was going to say you were sideways the whole time. Yeah. It just sums up how Toby Keith's career is right now. He's like,
honestly,
he's
like
mid-50s dad. He's like trying to still sound cool, but he's not.
Oh yeah, the sneaky best part of the whole thing is the fact that he doesn't even run his own Twitter account. So the tweet starts with Toby will be embarking on tour on the That's Country Bro tour, and it's just like, oh.
Even if I was, like, the most fucking famous person ever, I would still want to run my own Twitter. I wouldn't want people doing shit for me. Like, that's so weird to me.
Yeah, or if I was going to have something like that, I would not have it be, like, me. I'd have it be the news of the Toby Keith tour, or, like, the name of his corporation or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And have it be, like, tweets are by this person, and don't have it just be, like, Toby Keith, verified profile. It's him. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, I was thinking about this today. We were fans of Luke Combs when his Twitter was still Luke Combs Music, and he actually ran it. Now it's just a fucking PR team that's running it for him. I'm going to try and edit all of those out as much as of it as I can find. And I will fail at it.
I turned the mic away, so I think I avoided most of that, but then I coughed directly into it right after, so, you know.
So I figure we could do what we did with Merle Haggard last time, where we do that 10 badass moments thing from Saving Country Music. That's what we did for Merle, so we could do the 10 badass Waylon Jennings moments, and then we'll get into the top songs by him.
Do it.
I was incredibly busy at work. I didn't get off. I did an 11-hour day today, so I did not have time to research him more than just doing the music, so I did not do that. So we're just going to cheat and do this instead.
Yay.
So first up, Waylon Jennings walked off the Todd Snyder Show. In September of 1998, Waylon was scheduled to appear on The Late Late Show, hosted by Tom Snyder. Going into taping, Waylon was already a bit sideways with the situation because he thought he deserved a full hour slot, but instead the show's producer had him share the show with Dr. Laura. When Dr. Laura's segment began to eat into Waylon's time even more, he walked off the set, leaving him hanging. Fuck yeah. See, this is, nice. We talked about this on the Merle episode. I love, like, the people nowadays who are like, I'm an upcoming outlaw artist. It's like, no, you're not. Like, no. these guys are outlaws.
Yeah, it's supposed to mean something. It's not supposed to just be a descriptor of the sound.
Yeah. Then, number two, he walked out on Chet Atkins. In 1972, Waylon Jennings wanted control of his music, which is also why they were called Outlaws, because they wanted to do their own thing with their own music.
Yep.
So he hired a lawyer to get him out of his RCA, or... No, that was Willie Nelson got out of his RCA. So he hired the same lawyer that got Willie Nelson out of his contract to negotiate his thing. And he said... it was down to a $25,000 sum, and they weren't going to give it to me. We were sitting there, not a word spoken. Then the silence got unbearable. After a while, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, Chet, I said, reaching over to a bowl on his desk, where'd you get these peanuts? Neil glared at me. Shut up, Waylon. You could hear a clock tick in the room. It never got quieter. Minutes passed. I rose up, never said a word, walked out. I went to the bathroom to take a leak. When I came back, Neil greeted me in the hall. You're a fucking genius, he said. Walking out like that, it sewed it up. That was the $25,000 piss.
I do remember hearing about that one, where he wasn't really even trying to do a negotiating tactic, but they thought he was walking out on the interview. He's like, I just had to piss, man.
That's so great. And number three, he walked out of the 1970 CMA Awards. Granted, he walked out of a lot of CMA Awards. But yep. He was scheduled to perform Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. They said they were strapped for time. They wanted to cut the song to one verse and a chorus. I said, why don't I just dance across the stage and grin? Maybe one line. That'll give you a lot of time. Then they told me not to get smart. Either I did it or I got out. I said, we don't. They said, we don't need you. I decided that was true and I left.
That's awesome.
And then in 75, it happened the same, where he was up for four awards, including Entertainer of the Year. He won a bunch of shit, but Jesse Coulter didn't win anything. So when he got his certificate that said he won, he wrote "fuck you" and returned it to him. Which I know we've talked about before, because we talk about how like all these pop stars are always just like, "I didn't get my award this year. Why didn't I get nominated?" And it's just like these guys like shit on those awards. Like, I don't need this. And today now people are whining like, "Why didn't I get mine?"
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a different mentality, you know. The award shouldn't be the thing that proves to you that you did a good job and you're proud of yourself. It should be the fans and all that other stuff and just knowing that you made great music.
Yeah. next up is he sang with Big Bird on Sesame Street, enough said. Then he played Ironhead Haynes on Married with Children, enough said. Nice. Number seven, he corrupted Clint Black.
Attaboy.
He met up with Clint, I think, for like lunch or something. I'm not reading this entire thing because it's long. But it said pretty much after he was talking to Clint Black, he was just like, Clint pretty much got up from the table and says, I got to get rid of this Goody Two Shoes reputation. And then he just suddenly just did his own kind of shit, and it was great.
And became a huge star back in the day.
Number eight. Clint Black. Yep. Number eight, he started up a motorcycle in a hotel room at midnight. I'm guessing he was on the cocaine.
Or any of the numerous other types of things.
Yeah. And then number nine, I don't know why this is a badass moment, but he met Billy Ray Cyrus. Okay. Number 10
is... He can break his heart on the fuck out of here.
Old Town Road, baby.
Old Town Road!
And then number 10, he wrote and recorded Are You Sure Hank Done It This Way? I won't elaborate on that one because we will get to that song in a little bit. Spoilers for the top 15. But yeah, so Waylon Jennings is an outlaw. He's a badass. If you haven't seen it, use your 7-day Cinemax trial and watch the Tales from the Tour Bus. Didn't he have a two-part episode? Yeah,
he had a two-parter, and so did George Jones.
Yeah, so definitely get if you have the time, which you do, it's a free trial, and you can use it. Watch the Waylon Jennings episodes because it talks even more about him and just how badass he was. And oh god, I love Waylon. So I'm very excited.
That reminds me that not to spoil the moment for anyone who watches the show, but the part when Waylon's son's talking about how George Jones was all drunk and yelling at Waylon, saying that I'm the biggest country star on the planet, and then Waylon tied him to a tree. He's like, yeah, well, now you're tied to a fucking tree.
It's so stupid. But I love it. I remember the first time we watched that, we were like crying laughing because of how dumb that story was. But yeah, so Waylon is great, and I love him. And like we talked about, I think I just listened to the episode to remember how we did the episode, and I've already forgotten. But I'm pretty sure we talked about how you have a hag tattoo because you're a huge Haggard fan.
I do.
And I have a Waylon tattoo because I'm an enormous Waylon fan, so I was super excited to do this episode, as obviously Kevin was for Merle.
Yes.
If you can hear the puppers barking in the background.
Also fans.
Actually, well, they were going to originally be called Willie and Waylon, but we really wanted to call one Augie, so we just went with Augie and Willie. So Willie is named after Willie Nelson still, but Augie became Augie instead of Waylon. So at one point in my life, I will have a dog named Waylon still.
Yes.
But, yeah. So let's get into the top 15, Kevin, so we can get this shit done with, and you can go to bed.
I need it.
I need it. All right, so first up, number 15, Good Old Boys.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve. Flattening the hills. Someday the mountain might get them, but the law never will. Making their way the only way they know how. That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Also known as the theme from the Dukes of Hazzard show, whatever theme from Dukes of Hazzard. I just like.
I believe it's parentheses theme from Dukes of Hazzard.
Actually, I think it's called themes from Dukes of Hazzard parentheses Good Old Boys. But,
well, don't you bring your knowledge on here?
but so if anyone's was born, you know, pre 9/11, you've heard of Dukes of Hazzard, and you know that there was a Confederate flag on the car, which is super offensive.
Oh, canceled.
So, Waylon Jennings was also the narrator of that show, and he wrote the theme song. I actually looked it up. He did write the theme, because some of these, I think, some of these that are going to be on this list, he didn't write, but he made them famous. Mm-hmm. But he was kind of like 50-50 in his career with ones he wrote and ones that were wrote for him.
Well, I mean, like, he had the other part from Tales of the Tour Buses, you know, he got a whole bunch of songs from Billy Joe Shaver because he heard Billy Joe play them, and he's just like, those are fucking great.
Well, yeah, it's like one of the songs that's on his Nashville Rebel is Black Rose.
Yep.
Which is mostly known as... actually, was it Billy Joe that made that one famous, or was that
one he wrote it. I don't know who made it famous. I wasn't alive at the time.
I guess I could have looked that up. But, there's some other songs on this list that I didn't include that were... he had, like, recorded, and he kind of, like... the song Can't You See went number one when
Marshall
he recorded
Tucker.
It. But it's obviously, it'll always be known as a Zac Brown featuring Kid Rock song. So I didn't include that one.
I am very sick, but I'm so angry right now.
No, obviously, yes. It is a Marshall Tucker song. But like, I love Waylon's version of it, but it is a Marshall Tucker song. So I didn't, you know, include that one. But Good Old Boys, even if you don't watch Dukes of Hazzard, it's still a great country song because it's just, I mean, it explains the plot of the song, but at the same time, if you didn't watch the show, it's still just a story.
Oh, yeah. Song where you can, if you played it for someone who never knew that it was the theme, they wouldn't know that it's a theme song. It's not one of those songs where it only could be a theme song type song.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Next up is number 14. Number 14, Belle of the Ball.
I'll never forget you and love you in spite of your faults. The good and the bad, I want to remember it all. When I did a new dance and you did your Tennessee walk. But the party's all over, I came uninvited. I'm leaving and taking the bell of the ball.
This one's actually from his post posthumous album, Going Down Rockin', which is an amazing album, which I was listening to that whole thing. Every song on that album is fantastic, and you should listen to it. Like, it wasn't one that was, you know, it didn't come out when he was peak popularity. He was 10, 20 years past his popularity, and then...
Is that also the one that had his, like, old, like, the updated version of, like, Don't You Think This Outlaw Bit Done Got Out of Hand? Because he had an updated version of that where he was like slowed it down even more. And he's like, I think he just called it Outlaw Shit.
Oh, Outlaw Shit. That is, it wasn't on that album, but okay. Outlaw Shit is a fantastic song.
Yes.
I do love it.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure when you said posthumous if it was the same.
No, he's had a couple albums come out since he died.
Oh, for sure.
So. But this is the one that I really love. It's called like Going Down Rock in the last recordings of Waylon Jennings or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think actually with that album, what it was just a bunch of acoustic recordings he did on his own, and then Shooter and his old band got together and just completed it. And
I remember hearing about that. Yeah,
and it was so cool. But Belle of the Ball, it's just like it's a love song, and I just really love it.
And it's about balls. I still got it.
Number 13 is I'm a Ramblin' Man.
Standing too close to the flame. Once I mess with your mind, your little heart won't be the same. Oh, I'm a rambling man. Don't mess around with any old rambling man. Better not.
This one was one of those that was recorded by another artist, written and recorded by another artist. It's just that he was the one who, it's kind of like, what the fuck song is it? Like Better Boat by Kenny Chesney. It was originally recorded by Travis Meadows, who also wrote it, but it didn't get popular until Kenny Chesney did it. That's pretty much what happened with I'm a Ramblin' Man. Cause it was written by, who was it by? Ray Pennington. Is who wrote it, and it was in 1967 released it, and in 74 Waylon Jennings released it, and then it went number it did go number one. I lied. Yeah, because Waylon has had a lot of number one songs, because you know, country music used to be good.
R.I.P. and peace to that too.
Yeah. Next up is Stop the World and Let Me Off.
My dreams are shattered, don't you see? Now you no longer care for me. I miss the wonder of your kiss. How could you leave me here like this? Stop the world and let me off. I'm tired of going round and round. I played the game of love and lost. So stop the world and let me off.
Which is very accurate for, like, nowadays. aged perfectly.
Yeah, that is, That is very true because, fuck this world that we're in right now.
As Raj would say, fuck the free world.
I can't remember. Does this one not have its own Wikipedia page? I'm trying to see. Stop the world and let me off. No, it doesn't have its own. But, yeah, it's just, I think, isn't it about actually like a breakup, though? So it's just kind of him wanting to get away from it.
Tell you the specifics. I got the chorus in my head, and that's about all I got right now.
Yeah, because it's I miss the wonder of your kiss. How could you leave me here like this? Stop the world and let me off. Yeah, so it's a breakup song, and it's fantastical. This one you do know a lot about, Kevin, because you like this song a lot. Number 11, Mental Revenge.
I hope that the friend you've thrown yourself with gets drunk and loses his job. And every road that you travel on is dusty, rocky, and hard. I couldn't make you love me. You only made me bleed. So all in all, if the curtain should fall, Lord, I hope that it falls on you. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge. I will have sweet, sweet, sweet mental revenge.
I love this fucking song.
Yeah,
but
I think that
I have definitely listened to Jamie Johnson's version more. I don't know if I really have an opinion on which one is better because they're different and I like how they're different. Yeah. But I have definitely listened to the Jamie Johnson one better, but it's also just a, like it's kind of the it's a fuck you bitch without swearing.
Yeah, you pretty
know?
Much.
Just like I hope everything sucks for you and then I'll know in my head that your life sucks and that will make me happy and I'm like god yeah. damn right.
Yeah. And it, yeah, cuz it's funny cuz Jamie Johnson's is like really slow and like kind of
it's like sinister.
Evil. Yeah, sinister, that's the word, sinister. And this one is like a very upbeat like
exactly. Yeah, and so that and that you nailed it. That's exactly why both of them are so awesome that they're completely different like tones.
Yeah, but the same lyrics.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's fantastic. This one or Jamie Johnson. I think we might have even had the Jamie Johnson on our top list when we did it, but I'm not 100% sure on that one.
It's possible.
Number 10, Good Hearted Woman.
She's a good hearted woman in love with a good time and man. She loves him in spite of his ways she don't understand. Through teardrops and laughter, the past of this world. Good-hearted woman, loving a good-hearted man.
Woman. This is probably one of his biggest songs that he's ever that he ever released.
Yep.
This is one of his Willie and Waylon songs, and it's just pretty much talking about like it's kind of like the thing of like I'm the rambling man, but this girl is somehow able to stick around it and put up with my shenanigans and. It's fantastically fantastic.
Yep. It's good. It's good shit.
Number 9. Don't you think this outlaw bit's done got out of hand?
Don't you think this outlaw bit done got out of hand? What started out to be a joke the law don't understand? Was it singing through my nose that got me busted by the man?
This is the kind of the ironic part of him, like the, all those guys who would be called outlaws, and it's just like it was just kind of a joke that we were going along with, and now it's just like chill on this.
So, yeah, the fact that he, you know, so he released this in whatever year, and he's already acknowledging, like, all right, guys, let's take a chill, and then still in 2019, we've got guys who are just like, yeah, well, I'm an outlaw because I did fucking something stupid one time, got arrested for public intox at a frat boy. Party. Yeah.
Yeah, this one was 1978 it came out. It was the single right before Amanda. But it's just funny because I mean, I actually don't mind the song like Outlaws Like Me by Justin Moore, but it is just dumb that these people are like I'm an outlaw.
Well, yeah.
Think I'm an outlaw. It's like, come on.
Well, cuz I think it's one of those titles that you can't really bestow upon yourself, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, I forgot about it. Metallica did a tribute and sung this song on stage in honor of him. I forgot about that. That's actually a great video you can watch. I know it's on YouTube because I watched it before. But yeah, hearing Metallica sing Don't You Think This Outlaw Bit Done Got Out of Hand.
That's pretty sweet.
It's pretty fantastic. Because those who don't know, Actually, James Hetfield was friends with Waylon, and the song Mama Said by Metallica was inspired by Waylon. I don't know if he had any writing credits on it or anything, but I know it was inspired by Waylon. And that, yeah, that is a fantastic fucking song.
I haven't listened to that in a while. I should do that.
Ooh, that's an idea for a future episode. Country songs by non-country artists. Because we do that and like, what's that song? Fucking Avenged Sevenfold song? Dear God.
Gunslinger.
Yeah. One of the
It starts as a country. It starts as a country song and then.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah! Yeah. Anyway, number 8, Lukenbach, Texas.
Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas. Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out of Lukenbach, Texas. Feeling no pain.
I think in parentheses it's back to the basics of Glover.
Yeah, unnecessary like hyphenation. We know.
Just yeah, Lukenbach, we understand. Texas is yeah. But this is one of those awesome songs where it's just like we're stuck in this life that we're not really enjoying. So it's like we should go back to Lukenbach and just get back to the basics of why we fell in love with each other and what made us happy and.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this song. This song will also have a very special place in my heart forever because it's one of the songs that would get played during the Gold Vault when we were at the concrete plant.
Mm.
And so every once in a while, you know, you could count on it at least a couple times a week it would come on. And so it was just an exciting time whenever it would come on. You have like 3 minutes of like, woo! And then all of a sudden you're just like, everything fucking blows.
This is also one of those, it always reminds me of being up at fucking Randy's in Hayward, because this was always one that we threw on the jukebox when we were up there.
Because it's one that people outside of our family will sing. You know, the people at the bar will all jam out and get into it, too.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. number 7, purely because of the chorus of the song, I had to include it. I've always been crazy.
But it's kept me from going insane. Nobody knows if it's something to bless or blame. So far I ain't found a rhyme or a reason to change. I've always been crazy, but it's kept me.
Because it's such a great line. It's just, I've always been crazy, but it's kept me from going insane. It's such a, I love that.
Yeah, as far as his lines are, that line and then the I'm too dumb for New York City, but I'm too ugly for L.A., or the reverse, whatever it is. It's great.
Yeah, I've always been crazy, but it's kept. All right, I'm just trying to look it up, because I want to remember if this one was written by him or not. Doesn't say. Oh, it's because this is the album. Damn it! The song. Yes, it was written by Waylon Jennings, and it is absolutely fantastic. And it went number one on the country radio, because what a fucking surprise. It went number one on the radio. Next up is number
Free
6.
Bird.
I forgot he recorded that song. No, the next one is, number 6. Yeah, you are dying. Number 6, Drinking and Dreaming.
Drinking and dreaming, knowing damn well I can't go. I'll never see Texas, L.A., or old Mexico. But here at this table, I'm able to.
This was actually one I've obviously known this song because I've been listening to Waylon for a long time, but it was one when I was listening through all of his music that it popped up, and I was like, I forgot about this freaking song. It's just the song about pretty much you can't go where you want to go, so you're just sitting at a bar drinking and dreaming about what you want to do, but you just don't have the ability to do it. And it's my life.
Yep.
So
it's kind of like it's kind of similar to The Way I Am by Merle Haggard, where it's just like, I wish I was content and happy and would do something about this, that, and the other thing, but I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to sit here and drink and sad.
Yeah.
Is that your official statement? I sad.
Oh, I need to watch Parks and Rec again. Number five, The Conversation.
Yeah, back then they called him crazy. Nowadays they call him a saint. Now the ones that called him crazy, Lord, still riding. Well, if he was here right now, Bo Cephas, would he think that we were right? Do you think he might?
Don't you know he would walk towards you, be right here by our side.
If we left for a show in Provo,
be the first one on the bus and ready to ride.
Oh, great fucking song.
This is one of those that I almost consider just like, even though I have it only at number five on this list, it's one of those that I consider like one of the like most essential country songs of all time. Just like
yes.
These two getting together and just talking about Hank Sr. And just, it's such a perfect, like, it sounds like an actual conversation, but they sing it, and it's so fucking perfect. Like, the whole, like, did your daddy really write all those songs? He's like, eh, I'm not going to answer that. Let's just move on. Like,
yeah.
Like, or, like, that don't deserve no answer, because it's obvious he wrote all of his songs, and it's just a great between yeah. Hank Jr. and Waylon, and, yeah, it's fucking amazing.
Yeah, especially, like, who they, you know, who they are, them collaborating on a song, then referencing to another absolute icon. It's just, yeah. You couldn't really get a song like that nowadays. Like, who could do it? Thomas Rhett jerking off someone else about his dad? And he's like, I haven't made any music
Thomas
like that.
Thomas Rhett jerking off Dustin Lynch about his father, Seabiscuit?
Right onto the donkey teeth.
Donkey teeth. Yeah. Anyway, number four, speaking of Hank, number four, are you sure Hank done it this way?
Lord, it's the same old tune, fiddle and guitar. Where do we take it from here? Rhinestone suits and new shiny cars. It's been the same way for years. We need to change. Somebody told it made. Old Hank made it here. We're all sure that you will, but I don't think Hank done it this way. No. I don't think Hank done it this way. Look at
I was very torn in my top four of where to put each song, because my top four are four of just my favorite songs that are out there. And I'm, are you sure Hank done it this way? It's so perfect, because it's the fact that country protest songs go that far back is insane. Like, the fact of him being like, it's all rhinestones and suits and fiddle, like, and all this, just, it's been the same way for years. And it's just like, people being told how to do it. He's like, are you sure Hank would have done it this way? Like, you keep telling me this is what Hank did, but are you sure Hank would have done it this way?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically, I feel like he's preaching to, this is the fall of the authenticity. Like, yes, we can have songs that sound similar, but the authenticity has gone out the window, and that's where he's like, okay, come on, guys. Like, you gotta sing about something that's real.
Yeah. And this is another song that was, this is a, just, he wrote it. Just, he, no one else wrote it. It was purely him. Went number one because, of course, it did. But America. Yeah, it's, this is like, people need to, like, how can anyone listen to this song and just be like, yep, the shit I'm making today is, it's great.
Like, yeah, because and it seems like there's always a couple people nowadays who will point that out. Like, wasn't Brothers Osborne the most recent one? It's just like, if you can listen to a Waylon Jennings song and then listen to Old Town Road and tell me that they're similar, then I'll just fucking quit right now. That's fine. It's over. But, like, come on now, people.
Yeah, it's so stupid. Speaking of that quickly, I think we talked about it here. I don't remember. But, I saw right after that one, like, that article went up of, like, this is what they, I think, you know, same country music post or whatever, and it was, like, Josh Headley commented, like, oh, yeah, sure, these guys can talk about country music, and he's, like, defending Old Town Road. It's like, why are you shitting on them and defending Old Town Road? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Like, I understand Brothers Osborne's, like, rockish, but to say, like, they don't know what they're, I don't know, it's stupid. Next up is number three. This is on mine because I personally just love this song. Is Too Dumb for New York City.
When you're pushed and shoved and almost mugged, it ain't no place to be. So I came to one conclusion: New York ain't for me. From sea to shining sea and coast to coast, somewhere in the middle is the land I love the most. I ain't California pretty, I can't survive the great wide way. I'm too dumb for New York City and too ugly for L.A.
I love this because this was never one that went popular. Like, I was looking at his singles, like, discography earlier or whatever, and all of his you know, singles in the 70s, 80s, and even some of I believe some in the 90s as well. Nope, none in the 90s went number one. Like, he had so many hits for so long, and then this song came out in 92, and it peaked at 83 on the Canadian country list, but didn't even chart on the American country list.
Oh,
but,
not bad, eh?
Yeah, like, it's so dumb that this legend comes out with this awesome, like, a funny country song about, like, I like living in the middle of the country because I'm just too dumb for New York City and I'm too ugly for L.A. Like, it's just a fantastic, like, country person song, but then again, you know, all the most country people live in the city nowadays.
God damn right.
Yeah, America.
Don't you forget it.
So yeah, I just love this song. It's funny and...
Oh, it's great.
It's great. Number two, this one will be very controversial. Number two is Going Down Rockin'.
She was a child of the quiet, money had that silver spoon. I knew she had a little wild streak, needed breathing room. I can't be your sugar daddy, I won't be your Neanderthal. No, if I can't go down rockin', I ain't gonna go down that road. Spent a little time in the congregation, that's how I was raised. Been a little time in trouble, but I do have my way. If I can't go down rocking, I ain't gonna go down there. No.
Because I know you don't feel this way, but I love this version of the song, whereas you are a Whitey fan, and so you like the Whitey version better.
See, yeah, it's better is the key word, because this is by no means a bad song, the way that Waylon did it. Obviously, he did it first. But Whitey's version is fucking flawless.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Whitey, but it's just, this is the version I heard first. I know you heard the other one first.
Yup.
And so I just love this song. And even not even going on which one, this song itself is just a fantastic song.
Oh, yeah.
Of like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going down rocking. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not going out easy. And obviously this was written, you know, let's see. I wonder if it has when it was written.
Back in the before time.
It's just, yeah, in the early 2000s, like right before he died, I guess, it was written. Because, I mean, he does sound like, his voice does sound old on all these songs on this list. But they still sound amazing. But, like, the other song I didn't include on my top 15 that I love from this album is If My Harley Was Running. Because it's just, like, it's just a stupid song. Like, I used to make a joke, like, people call me lazy. And I'm like, you know what? If I wasn't already sitting down, I'd kick your ass. Like, and so that's kind of what it is. It's just like he's pissed off that his wife is like the breadwinner, and so he's just like, you know what? If my Harley was running, I'd be out of here. But going down rocking, it's just a fantastic song about like I ain't going out until I say so type thing.
Yep.
And then number one is my all-time, without a doubt, favorite Waylon Jennings song is "Rose in Paradise."
She was a flower for the taking. Her beauty cut just like a knife. He was a banker from Macon. Swore to love her all his life. He bought her a mansion on a mountain with a formal garden and a lot of land. But paradise became her prison. That Georgia banker was a jealous man. Every time you talk about her, you can see the fire in his eyes. You see, I would walk through hell on Sunday to keep my rose in paradise. You hired a man.
Fucking love this song. He didn't write this one, but I love this one because it is one of those, like, we always talk about how some songs are like a feeling where some are a story. This is one of those amazing stories that were written, like, because it's a mystery. You don't actually know what happens. It's somewhat implied, like, she might have been murdered or she might have ran away, but it never actually, it's like the Inception. It never tells you the actual ending. So it's just this thing of, like, a woman falls in love, or quote-unquote falls in love. She gold digs her way into a relationship with a banker man. Goddamn banker.
Goddamn bankers.
And, goes for the money, and then so he buys her a house on a mountain, has a big old floral garden and a lot of land, but she's just not happy with it. So then the next verse is like, oh, he hired a gardener to tend the garden and keep her happy, and it's like, no one knows if he ran away alone or if she ran away with him. And so then you don't know what happened to the girl, like, did she go away with the gardener, or did he kill her? Because it's like, now he's old and he's alone in that mansion and it's crumbling down and he's sad and stuff. But then, so you're like, what happened to her? And then it says, some say there's a rose out in the garden. So it's saying, like, was she buried in the garden or is she not? Like, it's kind of like one of those urban myths things of just like, I heard there's a body up in Old Man River's fucking garden, like that kind of thing. And I just love that story element of it. And so I just love this song start to finish. And then obviously Chris Young covered it on his first album back when Chris Young sang country music with Willie Nelson featured on it. And it was also a fantastic version of it.
But, yep. And RIP to that too.
Keep It Country or whatever his new fucking single is.
Bro.
Yeah, fuck that song. But yeah, so that's my top 15. What, any songs you want to talk about that I didn't include?
One of my favorites is Wurlitzer Surprise. Just has
that one was close to being on my list.
Kind of like a swinging kind of jam to it. And then just, they ought to give me this prize for being a sad sack of shit all the time.
Yeah. The other song that I'm sure many people be like, why didn't you include this one? Is a song that will be the feature of our new segment that I enjoy because it's fun, I guess. I don't know.
Yes.
The number one country song of the week, but not from this year because this year is terrible. This week's went number one on March 25th of 1978 was Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson's Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys.
Mamas don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
pick guitars or drive them old trucks. Let them be doctors and lawyers and such. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys, 'cause they never stay home and they're always alone, even with someone they love.
This is just one of those that everyone, anyone who knows country, good old country music knows this song, because this is one of those like
cowboy, oh, it's a classic.
It's like a cowboy anthem type thing.
And it's an absolute classic.
Yeah. I mean, it was even featured in, what, like a Toyota commercial recently? I can't remember what.
It's also the theme song for The Ranch.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that one sang by Shooter?
It's sang by someone different. I don't know if it's Shooter or who it is, but it's definitely not the original. Kind of sounds like Shooter now that you mentioned it.
I want to say it's Shooter. Mamas, don't let your babies grow. I want to Google it. But yeah,
that would make sense.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is. I could be wrong, but I want to say that's what it is. Pop culture. This song is referenced and subverted in Weird Al Yankovic songs, Dare to be Stupid. Okay.
Yay.
Oh, you'll like this. The version of this song was used as the theme tune for the Netflix comedy The Ranch, sang by Shooter Jennings and Lucas Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know it was Lucas
the
Nelson
Chitlins.
Who was the other one. Yeah, so so the children are the two song that originally did this song. That's actually awesome knowing that
that's
it's those
so
two.
Fucking cool.
Because I'd heard, I'm pretty sure that it was Shooter. I didn't know that it was Lucas Nelson.
Yeah, I never really paid attention that much because I could tell that it wasn't the regular one.
Yeah.
And I would just, you know, it's an intro. I'm looking at my phone and shit.
Yeah. Jerking your dick.
Exactly.
Try not to die from allergies and sickness.
Too late. It's taking me.
Yeah, so that's the song, the number one song this week, but not from this year because this year's terrible. The albums that came out last week, which I got to pull up. Well, first off, we could just talk about the one that we've both been listening to a shit ton because it's fucking fantastic. Is crap, I gotta pull it up. Kane Brown. No. Why is Kane Brown on my fucking list? Oh, because he was on the Brooks and Dunn album. I didn't know that. I didn't make that far. There we are. Alright, well, first off, I'll just go in order of how I'm on the playlist. First was Will Kimbrough's I Like It Down Here. It was a really good rockish kind of country album. He's very good, very attractive.
Yes.
Next up is one that we've both been obsessed with is the Lowdown Drifters' Last Call for Dreamers.
Yep.
We will definitely get into it more next week when hopefully Kevin's more alive and you'll see what that album's about. So episode's about. And yeah, so that album is amazing. Listen to that one.
Do it. Yes.
Next up is the Coltrane's Lucky Stars. This one is also really good. They're kind of on the same plane as the Lowdown Drifters. They're a rockish country guy. I mean, one of their songs has Cody Canada featured on it, so that's the sound they kind of have is a Cody Canada and the Departed type sound. And yeah, they're fantastic. They're actually the last song on their list. It's called Lucky, and then in parentheses with our family. That one's like an acoustic one. It's really good.
Nice.
Next up is an EP by Andrew Hyatt called Able. I definitely suggest listening to this one. I don't know if we talked about his first, because he has two EPs out called Cain and Abel, which is kind of a cool thing. But
yep.
Cain was kind of pop country-ish, and it wasn't that good, but Abel is really good. It's very folky. So definitely listen to Abel by him. Next up is Jade Bird's self-titled album. She's fantastic, very good, very attractive. So is Andrew Hyatt. He's very good, very attractive. Oh, yeah, but that's it from last week. Those are all fantastic albums. I suggest listening to all of them. You can find all those on my playlist This Month in Country, which I update every Friday or when I remember to, of all the albums from that previous Friday. And then we're going to do something with that soon, and it'll be fun.
Spoilers.
Yeah, you can find us at countryhodgepodge.com. I need to update the website. It's been a while.
It's been a while since I knew how to breathe through my nose.
And then Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Country Hodgepodge, Spotify, the Hodgepodge Kiss, picks. Every week I upload all the songs we talk about on the podcast so you can listen to them yourself. Kevin's picks of the week every Monday, if he remembers, which he hasn't remembered for the past few weeks. He uploads 10 songs you should listen to. You can find, we tweet it out, or you can find them on Spotify. His username's Donkey Factory, one word.
Yes.
And then, as I said, this month in country playlist, every month we're going to be talking about all the best music from that month. On TeePublic, you find one of our dumb shirts or hoodies or phone cases or laptop, whatever fuck thing. Do it on one of our dumb shirts that we sell. Kevin's on Twitter at CHPunderscore Church. You could find him tweeting about the Bears and how great they are. And then please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It'll help us get found. I think there's some, I don't know, algorithm bullshit. We're also on Stitcher and SoundCloud, so you can listen to us there. Thank you for listening. We love you all. Waylon Jennings is amazing. If you don't listen to him, you're probably a Kane Brown fan. So that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to definitely finally get to Sam Hunt. So stay tuned for that.
Good thing I'm dying.
Good thing you won't survive till then. Yep. But yeah, that's it for this week. My name is Steve Hodge. As always, joined by Kevin Hodge, saying goodbye, good night, and good shot.
Kill me now.